That just song just makes you believe. I mean, it just, there's such an anointing on it. I'm so excited to see, I don't know, for those of you who knew gospel music, Cece Winans wrote that. And she was very, very popular when I was in my 20s. And it's just powerful to see her coming back. She is an anointed woman of God. And words like that, they come from the Father. Amen. You can try to be a songwriter and you can try to come up with your own words, but when you get words from the Lord, that's what's going to change circumstances. It's going to change things in people's lives because it's not their words anymore. It's His words flowing through them. Amen? Just a powerful, powerful song. And it's great because it sets it up for our tithes and offerings. You said it, and I believe it. Amen? So we've been looking at what Jesus, this is not even just Bible scripture, this is what Jesus said. So He said it, and I believe it. He said it, and it is done. Amen. So we are in verse 33, and we are almost done with this passage. I probably could do about three services just with this one verse. But I want to start at the beginning and read through this passage one more time. No one can serve two masters, verse 24 in chapter 6. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, so this is what it's there for. If you make God the Lord of your life, this is the blessings that you have. Therefore, I say to you, who says this? Jesus. Therefore, I say to you, this is what Jesus says. Do not worry. Say it with me. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit? You can't make yourself grow an inch taller or a foot taller. You can't add any length to your days, right? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil or spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What did we research when we saw about Solomon? Solomon had so much gold, they used to grind it into dust, and they would powder him with gold. And yet Jesus is saying that the lilies of the field that God creates surpass that. Wow. Wow, that's pretty intense. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is here and tomorrow is thrown to the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Now, is he rebuking us? Is he looking down on us, oh, us of little faith? No, he's saying, why are you lacking confidence? That's what we discovered, that oh, ye of little faith. Is not you have little faith. It has to do with your lacking confidence in God. Why are you lacking confidence? If he takes care of the birds, if he takes care of the lilies, why are you, for goodness gracious, if it was a mom saying that, that's what she would have said. For goodness gracious, why are you lacking confidence in him? So he says it again. Therefore, say it with me, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. And here's today's verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I want to say that again. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So he gives us the key. He gives everyone the key. He says this, seek. That word means to desire, to seek specifically, to worship. And what are we supposed to seek first? What are we supposed to desire? Are we supposed to desire and seek first the things like the world does? Shake your head, no. No. We are supposed to seek first. So it's not seek second, not seek third, not seek fourth. Praying and asking the Lord about something in your life should not be the fifth thing you do. The order should be first pray to Him, and then do the research, or call someone to agree with you, or this and this and this. But first, seek the Lord. That means before, or give it first place. So we're desiring, we're seeking, we're worshiping. Before anything else, we're giving it first place, the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? All the commentaries that I read, almost all had the same gist to it. This is the right state of heart. It's a higher spiritual life. It's God reigning in your heart. So it's almost like he's doubling down on this, right? He's saying, seek, worship, give first place to me. That's what Jesus is saying. Make sure that I am number one in your life. Seek me. Why are we seeking the Lord? Because if he's number one in our life, therefore, we do not have to worry. It's like he's saying, have you ever done this to your kids before? Don't touch that. 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 Right? It's almost like the Lord is saying, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. He's trying to get our attention in this series. Do not worry. As my car is coasting down the hill on the way to Everly's school, as everything had died, Lacey was on her way to my parents to drop off the van that we were done using. So I called her up and I said, maybe you should drop by the school before you take that van up to Nana and Papa's. She's like, you're kidding me, Mom. And I'm like, no, all of a sudden I lost everything in the van. So at some point, she went home and she took the car home because I got a hold of our mechanic, and I get this text from her. I'm sitting waiting for the mechanic, and I'd already prayed with my mom, and I already sought the Lord first, of course. I was like, okay, Lord. I'm just laughing because this is so ridiculous, right? And I get this ping on my phone, and I look down, and on my phone from my daughter, it says, therefore, do not worry. Don't you love it? I love it. They're preaching it right back at me, right? Well, I'm preaching it right back at you again. It doesn't matter what things look like in your life. It doesn't matter if you have no idea why you've completely lost control. Therefore, do not worry. Yes, but Shelly, you don't know. This is the third time I've had to call my mechanic in less than 2 weeks about the same car. Therefore, do not worry. But you don't know. I keep seeing these symptoms. I keep seeing them over and over and over again. Then you say to those things over and over and over again, I refuse to worry. I refuse. He said he will provide all my needs. He said that he will heal my body. He said he will take care of my kids. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve. He said, and when he says it, I believe it. We have to get to this point. We have to. And I know I've been totally fired up about this, but there's a reason why. We are in the last days, and the world around us is going to keep getting crazier. And the enemy is going to try to come in any way he can to kill, steal, and destroy your hope and your faith and your joy. And you need to do this. I refuse. I refuse. That's what I kept saying in my car. I refuse. I refuse. You're going to take me down no rabbit trail. I don't care how many times this has been. I refuse to give in. I refuse to sit here and cry. I refuse to sit here and worry. I refuse. That's what I was saying in my car, out loud. I was hoping that, you know, teachers that I know in the school weren't, like, watching me as I'm having this yell session. But, you know, sometimes we have to have that. I shared last week that a pastor that we know I was listening to said, if a wild animal came in your house, you wouldn't be like, oh, get out, get out, get out. No, girls, we'd have our broom, and we'd be chasing that sucker, and we'd be whacking it, right? So why are we letting the devil into our families and into our finances and into our homes? Get out your spiritual brooms and tell it where to go. Out. Out. I refuse. I refuse in these last days to give in to fear. I refuse. But you know, the only way to refuse it and be successful is this right here. If you don't know what he said, how are you going to believe it? If you don't know what he said, how is it supposed to be done? If you want to say, he said it, and I believe it, you have to read it. You have to get it in you so where it sinks deep down inside. Where was I at in my verse? Oh, kingdom of God. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The right way of living. There is a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live. Why do we as Christians want to see how close to that line we can get? For goodness gracious, again, as a mom, stop seeing how close to the line you can get and start seeing how far away you can get. We do not need to look like them to save them. We need to look like something else so they can be saved. Right way of living. And then it says this, all. That means every kind of the whole. All these things will be added. I love this word. We get added, right? You keep adding something to it. But I love the last two words in the commentary about this. It says, additionally repeated. Additionally repeated. So if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, if you make him number one in your life, the first place to go, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you choose to live the right way, then all these things will be added and 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 added to you. Woo! Somebody get excited in this room. That means that he's not a one-time blesser. No. He has good things in store for us. And that's what Jesus this whole time is saying. Stop worrying about all these little things. Let it go. Let it go. I'm going to take care of you. Somebody needs to hear this today. God wants you to know he will take care of you. He will take care of that thing that is weighing on your heart. He will, not you. You've been trying in your own might. That's what I keep seeing. You've been trying and trying and trying to do everything you possibly can do to fix this. I'm here to tell you today, you can't fix it, but he can. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We agree with you today, Father. We agree with you today that you can fix the things that we can't fix. So help us to stop worrying about them. Father, I thank you. This word is so powerful. It is so powerful and so timely, Father. I just pray, therefore, do not worry would resonate in hearts and minds. When something comes up, it doesn't mean that we don't face the truth. I had to face the truth that my car was no longer running. But it doesn't mean I have to waste 1 minute of my life worrying about it. And Father, that's what I pray today. These words, therefore, do not worry. Even if that's all some people say all day long until it sinks in or that thing changes, help us not to waste our time on the things that the devil sends. The little foxes that keep us running and keep us stressing from here to here to here to here to here. No, 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 no. We are going to stand and refuse. We're going to stand and refuse because, God, you have called us in these last days to change the world, to pray for people, to believe for people, to see miracles for people, to be a part of people's miracles, God. And that's the plan you have for us. We're not going to let the enemy distract us from those plans anymore because we've put him number one. The Lord is number one in our lives, and therefore, we do not have to worry. I pray, Father, for every person here that walked in with worry, Father, that has been dealing with situations in their lives that don't look like they're changing. Let today be the turning point, Father. The turning point. As they give it back to you and choose not to worry, let them see. You said, they believe. You said, and it's done. And let there be even more miraculous reports that come in, Father, of the work you are doing. Bless every seed that's sown today. Multiply it. For those who gave to the Mishler's car, Father, we've been praying with them, and they are praying for us, that every seed that was sown is going to produce a miracle car in that family's life, Father. That they are going to receive a blessing that they couldn't even imagine, because they've sowed and it's going to be multiplied back to them. Blessed to be a blessing. I see us giving away cars in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for blessing that seed and blessing the sowers today. And let this word sink into our hearts and our minds and not be stolen from us, so that we will be able to use it in the days to come. Therefore, do not worry. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We receive it all by faith, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for all you did for us, Lord, at the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that it did not end at the cross, but it went through the cross. And our victory is in the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. Better blood means better things. And we receive those better things, God, that you have for us in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Well, if you want to open your Bible to a passage, we're going to look at Acts chapter 10 today, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. We're going to continue our message for another couple weeks entitled Cross Culture. And this year, I really felt stirred by the Lord to emphasize kind of our theme for the year. The Lord usually gives me a theme for the year. Kingdom culture. And I was listening very carefully as Pastor Shelley was sharing, and she was talking about the kingdom of God, and I was kind of glancing through her notes, but she said the words, the kingdom of God is, I think she said something to the effect of a state of the heart. Where's your heart at? Amen? And I found it's funny, sometimes on my day job, I'm driving through town, and I'll hit a Goodwill because they have got clean bathrooms there. And I always check their DVDs for a second while I'm there, or CDs, you know, just for a few seconds. And the past few weeks, I've found like Kenneth E. Hagin CD series. I mean, I'm talking mint condition, like never even used, apparently. I found a Fred Price DVD series. Never, it looked like it hadn't even been used. And then this past week, I found a Creflo Dollar DVD series. I mean, CD series, like 9 discs for $2. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. But you think about a lot of people that say, well, faith doesn't work. I heard it. I tried it. Well, no, you didn't. You never even put it in your CD player. I can tell. But for me, it's treasure. Amen? Somebody say, treasure the word. Listen to it. I mean, there's a lot of voices out there, but if we just plug into God's word and his teaching and preaching and receiving of his word, you're going to get stronger in your spirit. Amen. But I got to CD number 2. And I'll tell you what, Friday I just looped it. And I'm in my car all day driving around town. I was joking with some of my business associates that I kind of made a Star of David on Friday. Like I live in Washougal, then I went to Beaverton first thing, then I came to Killingsworth, then I went to Battleground. Then I came to Vancouver. Then I went back to Camas and Washougal. Then I came back to Battleground. So I'm listening all day long this Creflo Dollar message, and it was all about basically where's your heart at? Where's your motives? And I got a faith list. I'm believing God for a lot of things that I haven't seen yet. And his point was, are you going to quit if you haven't seen it yet? And if you do, then your heart isn't in it. Your heart isn't in the right place. And boy, the message, I'll probably listen to it several more times this next week, because God is doing something in me. But when Shelley said the state of the heart, that is a huge part of the culture of God's kingdom. Where's my heart? The heart. Somebody say, Lord, I give you my heart, right? So why am I tithing? Why am I confessing things that I see in the Word? Is it just so I can get mine? Right? Where's my heart in it all? Well, I've been sowing for years and I haven't seen my new house yet. I guess that faith stuff doesn't work. No, we sow, we give, and we tithe and we give because the Word says to, and because we love Him. And so somebody else can get saved. Amen? It's okay to have our faith list, but it's just this whole state of the heart thing that's just jumping out at me. And it all brings it home to this message today. Now, our foundation text for this message is Colossians 1, 19 and 20, and it says this, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself." By Him. Somebody say by Him, right? And that Him is Jesus, right? "Whether things on earth or things in heaven." How many of you know, if you're born again, you have family on earth and in heaven? And I'm not just talking about biological family, other believers. Hallelujah, right? So one time I was at a grocery store, and this African-American couple was an elderly couple. I could tell they just got out of church because he had his Bible, and he dropped his Bible on the floor. And I picked it up and gave it to him. And I said, "Here you go." And I looked at the gal at the register. I said, "This is my brother." And he looked at me like, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "We have the same Father. We got this." And he's like, "Oh, okay, I get it. You do. That ends racism right there. Born again people got no right to be racist, because we got family that are all different spectrums of races, because one blood, better blood means better things. One blood. Jesus' blood makes us family. It's a beautiful thing. Amen? "Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." And that's going to be the big word today. Somebody say peace. Peace. Peace out. A lot of people use it loosely, right? Pray for world peace. Let's believe God for world peace. Well, He's bringing peace, right? But how many of you notice there isn't much peace in the world? Just ask the Ukraine right now, right? Or other places. Amen? That is not God. That's the God of this world in action. The devil. Amen? But Jesus made peace through the blood of His cross. Now, we're going to talk about this today. And I feel, you know, today we're going to emphasize peace. Next week we're going to look at this verse here, 1 Corinthians 1:18. "For the message of the cross," talking about the cross, right, "is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Amen. And next week we're going to talk about the power of God. How many know it's all about the power of God? What Jesus did was all about the power of God. Amen. Foolishness means silliness, absurdity, senseless, untrue, contrary to reason or common sense, laughably false, stupid, blockhead, heedless, asleep at the switch, inattentive, foolhardy. A lot of people think that about Christians. Anybody who goes to church, anybody who believes that a man was virgin born and lived a sinless life and healed people and walked on water, and they crucified Him, and 3 days later He rose again, and He's coming back to get you and take you to heaven. A lot of people would say, if you believe that, you're silly, you're absurd, you're senseless, it's untrue, it's contrary to reason and common sense, laughably false, stupid, heedless, you're asleep at the switch, you're inattentive, and you're foolhardy. You ought to be more engaged in, you know, mutilating yourself and doing drugs and all this crazy stuff that's going on. You're wasting your time in that place. Now, to those who don't believe in Jesus, it gets that extreme. And they would even go as far as to say, what you're doing right now in church is dangerous. Well, somebody say, yeah, dangerous to the devil. How many know living without Jesus is the most dangerous thing you could do? We don't have any reason to fear death as believers. But if someone is not born again, they should be terrified of dying. Because Jesus talked about, you shouldn't be so concerned about the first death, it's the second death. Because there's a physical death, and then there is a spiritual death that follows physical death that has to do with eternity in a place called hell. That wasn't designed for people. It was designed for Satan and all his angels that followed him, right? You know, Satan was an archangel, Lucifer, this is all in the Bible. But pride was found in him, and he decided he was going to overthrow heaven. Right? Can you imagine this? I could do a... You got to watch, we all have to watch ourselves, no matter how successful we are, that we don't start asking questions like, what would this place be without me? Right? The devil started saying, what would this place be? Boy, the music would be terrible. All of these angels, they would follow me. Oh, man, there's no grace, there's no mercy for the devil. He was cast out, the Bible says, like lightning shot out. And he's been trying to set up his kingdom on this planet, if you haven't noticed, for a long time. But Jesus came and shut his plan down, didn't he? And it's in the he's in the process of eviction right now. And what does a crazy dictator do when they've been evicted? Burn, pillage, kill, steal, and destroy on their way out, right? That's what is happening on planet Earth. And the church, we got no business being afraid of him. We're here to enforce the kingdom of God. Just you being here with your feet on the floor in this region, us together, united in faith in Jesus, he's terrified of that. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But today I want to focus on that word peace for the next several minutes, because I'll tell you what, hearing Creflo teach on these things about the state of our hearts before God, it's like a whole, I don't know if it's really a new thing, but sometimes God just needs to bring us right back to the very basic, most fundamental thing. So guard your heart against, I already know that. How many know if we come to church or hear something taught and we start thinking, I've heard that before. We've absolutely disconnected ourselves from anything God would want to do. Amen? So hear it like it's the first time. It's to the point where I'm actually emotional about it because it's just washing over me, this whole revelation. Maybe one illustration to begin with. You know, Shelly and I, we've been married for 22 years. And the other day, I found a box of notes that she had written me. Some before we were even married, you know. And we were going through some things, getting to know each other. We had like a 6-month engagement. And so, I mean, just cool to reconnect with when your love was new. But one of the things that was very special was I found two pieces of paper. One was her phone number. The other one was directions to her parents' house where she was living. Now that's turning it back. The very first moment. And I believe this message brings me back to where it began and where it should be. Everything that we believe God for should be founded out of this. And it's simply this, being at peace. I've heard it taught, and I've taught it, and it's absolutely right to teach about the peace of God. The peace of God passes all understanding, guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Peace of God means nothing missing, nothing broken. So we're pressing in and believing God for, I don't know about you, but some areas of my life, there's things missing and broken. Amen. We live on planet Earth, right? And we're believing God to heal, right? And break through. But in the midst of that, we need to remember this. The Lord wants us to come back to remembering the importance, not of the peace of God, but being at peace with God. I've prayed with people before, especially when I was in the medical industry, about to die. And you ask them, have you made your peace with God? How many know they don't care much about a new car at that point? Or a better house, right? Or some sort of breakthrough in their employment. It's, I'm about to die. What happens next? Somebody say, peace with God is our greatest possession. And we've got that. If you're born again, you have made peace with God, and that is the most valuable thing you could have ever done in your entire life. I don't care if you've been saved since you were 3. We need to come back to this and just thank Him. Lord, I thank You that today I have peace with You. Because if all I'm focused on is the peace of God and the nothing missing, nothing broken, and praise God, we need to be pressing in for things that we're believing Him to do and continue to break through. But let's come back to remembering foundationally. It all begins with, Lord, I thank You that I have peace with You. And you know why you do? Because you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. I mean, Creflo went into this. He's like, if you've heard Creflo preach, he's awesome, you know. But he's like, some of y'all quitting on God because you ain't seen your new car yet. He's like, what about, remember, when you were demon-possessed and you were sick and you were broke and you met Jesus and He changed. He's like, I can't promise you new houses and new cars, but I can give you Jesus. Don't you know, if we have Jesus, we have everything. All that other stuff is just going to burn anyway. Now, that doesn't mean we don't believe God for breakthroughs, but He's bringing me back to this fundamental truth that there's nothing more important or valuable or precious than my peace with Him. Hallelujah. And He gave me several verses to look at with you today. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, having been justified, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I heard that before. We'll hear it again. And again, and again, and again, because there's nothing more important than having peace with God. And it says right there, we've been justified by faith, and having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If your faith is in what He did at the cross that day, when they beat Him and tortured Him and He died and was raised again from the dead, then you have made peace with God. He made peace with you, and you've accepted the peace that God has offered. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 10. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank You, Lord, that I have peace with You. And that's an important question to ask ourselves. Do I have peace with God? Where's my heart in all of this? Why am I in church today? To do my religious duty? Because I want my new whatever? Because I have a guilt complex? Because someone's been nagging me? We need to come back to, no, I'm in church today because Jesus is Lord of my life. And because I'm so thankful for what he's done for me. And because I'm going to live for him every day of my life, right? Amen. There should be a time that we should be able to come back to and say, that's the moment that I gave my life to Jesus. Is there a time like that in all of our lives? Where I got born again, where I said, Jesus, I receive you as Lord of my life. I apologize for my sins. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. There should be a moment that we can go back to, like when Shelley gave me that note. Where I can say, it all started right there, and I'm staying there in my foundation. And there were some things that, you know, I was reading through her notes. And, you know, you just get busy with life, you know. And it's like, wow, this woman loves me. And she's still the same. It's, you know, it's she hasn't changed in her love toward me. And I wasn't a super nice person back then. I guess we all change and grow up in God, you know, we involved in a big church and we're busy and doing things, and I knew I probably kind of blew her off a few times when we were dating, but she kept loving me, right? And that's what I needed in my life, right? Well, we need to remain in this place of, Lord, thank you for making peace, amen, so I can come to heaven someday, right? Hallelujah. Well, Acts chapter 10 verses 34 through 43, this is Peter talking. And he says, Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know, there's a couple of scriptures I was going to put in here that say, you know, we talked about those who think the gospel, the cross, is foolishness, right? The Bible says in multiple places that there is no peace for the wicked, right? And I can tell you, I know people, or have seen people, that seem very happy being wicked. They're totally happy being crazy, like Creflo said, acting so cool and acting a fool, or however he says it, right? And they're happy doing it. That's not the peace we're talking about. They don't have peace with God. They don't. Even if they're happy partying and sinning and doing all the crazy stuff the world is doing, they could be happy all the way till their dying day doing that. But they do not have peace with God. You do. If you're born again, that makes you different. Doesn't mean we're perfect. And buddy, notice we're not perfect, right? But you've made peace with God. You're different than the rest of the world in that way. I'm talking the entire rest of the world. You're different. You're a different race. When the trumpet sounds, you're out of here. They're not. Now that's serious, right? Amen. But it's only through Jesus. Somebody say, only through Jesus. Only through faith in him. Not a bunch of other stuff. Not because you were so nice. Not because you're so holy. Not because God feels sorry for you for all the bad stuff that happened in your life. Not because you can write a big enough check. No. Because you put your faith in what happened at the cross. And you admitted to God, Father God, I needed that. That was for me. At that moment, you made peace with God. There's a doctrine out there right now that is a lying spirit, a devilish lie, that says, oh, no, Jesus did this for everybody, so it's just automatic. No, you have to believe it. And you have to receive it. Or you don't have it. Jesus told people, you know, if you don't confess and, you know, come to Jesus, and you will die in your sins. Amen. Somebody say, I have peace with God. Now, that's a glorious thing, right? Verse 36 again. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism with John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Somebody say power, right? Who went doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39, and we are witnesses. I had a woman ask me this week, did a job, and she knows that I worked with some people that were Jehovah's Witness before. And so that's who we got the job through. And she's like, are you a witness? I'm like, ma'am, I'm born again. I'm a born again Christian. Right? Somebody say, there's a difference. I don't call my dad by his first name, Jehovah. I call him Father. Amen? Hallelujah, right? And we are witnesses of all things. She is from Texas. And I'm like, ma'am, we would all do so much better if we were living like Texas lives. I mean, politically. She's like, oh, well, Jesus was passive. That's what they're taught. And I see where they get it. You know, when he was being crucified and Pilate was in, you know, interrogating him and he was silent. At that moment, he was. Because that's what God told him to do. You're going to be crucified and die and all those kind of things. But how many know you don't crucify someone for being passive? The devil just makes up these lies. Oh, don't get involved. Don't get involved. Just be passive. Somebody say no. No, no, no. Now we're spirit-led, word-led, but we are aggressive in our faith. Coming back to a foundational truth like this, we got to take it and come back to it intentionally. Amen, right? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God. Now here's some real witnesses. Right here, right? They witnessed this, right? Chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify. That doesn't sound passive, does it? Don't preach, be passive. How many know preaching is not passive? Oh, whoever will, whoever won't, just float on through. No. How many, I watched Duke and North Carolina last night. What a great game. And they were not passive. They were aggressively competing to win and get to the championship. And it was a great game. Hallelujah. He commanded us to preach to the people, testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. That's called peace with God. But if somebody say, it's only through him. Only through him. Hallelujah. Now I got a few other scriptures to share with you. Isaiah 38:17 in your notes there says this. And this is prophetically before. Hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, the prophet Isaiah said, indeed, it was for my own peace. You have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. Now, I'll tell you what, church, there's a lot of things that I'm believing God for right now that I haven't seen yet in my life. But what's more important than that? Somebody say, nothing. Nothing. Nothing is more important than peace with him. Glory to his name forevermore. If I never see another, you know, manifestation, we will, amen. But if I never see another manifestation of the blessing of God in my life, first of all, that would mean I have an unthankful heart. Because we can find things to thank God for every second of the day if we look. Right? But there's nothing more important than this. Because without it, I got nothing. Doesn't matter how rich I am, how healthy I am, how nice a car I drive, how beautiful and healthy my family is. If I'm on my way to hell, it doesn't matter. Amen, right? Isaiah 53:5 says this, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. He bore the punishment on his own body for our sins and our transgressions. Oh, but Pastor Steve, that's not a sin. Oh, no, no. When you have a president who gets up there and talks about transgenderism like it's fact, that is creepy stuff, church. It's not even biologically possible. A vice president and a president getting up there and talking about all genders. Creepy. Creepy. I'll say it again. Creepy. It's not even true. What else are they doing that's not true? Right? That's not to accuse them and tell them they're going to hell. They could get saved and make Jesus Lord of their life just like you. Right? But Jesus bore that sin on his own body. But if I'm not willing to call it a sin, that or anything else, oh, that's not a sin. Oh, you just got to love, love. We love God. We love his word. We call sin, sin. Because if I don't call sin, sin, then I have not made peace with God. I'm not here to make peace with sin. I'm here to, the Bible says, judge yourself that you not be judged. Amen? So if there's a sin, an attitude, a behavior, something that's rising up in me that I want to do, and I see in the Word clearly says that is a sin, then I judge that. And I admit it. I say, Lord, if I did it, Lord, I receive my cleansing and my forgiveness of all sin and unrighteousness. And I thank you that I have peace with you. The word with is really important there. A lot of us want the peace of God. Here's the Holy Ghost right here. A lot of us want the peace of God without having peace with God. Welcome to the world in 2022. They want the peace of God without having peace with God. And I'll tell you this, in one word, that's impossible. First, somebody say first, have peace with God. Then you will experience the peace of God. But without the peace with God, you will not have the peace of God. Simple. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. I'm glad the Holy Ghost comes to church here, because I didn't even think of that until right then. But it's the truth. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him on the cross. Amen? And I just got to come to him and say, yeah, that's a sin, Lord. Hi, I'm Steve. I've sinned. Instead of getting out there, and here's the even creepier, there's ministers in pulpits telling people this, the transgender stuff and all these kind of things the world is pushing is, let's just embrace it. Oh, man, that is scary. I'll tell you this. I will not answer, get to heaven and answer the question, Steve, why did you lie to your church about that? Danger, danger. No, 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 no. I love God and I love you. Amen? The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Have you received it? Have you believed it? Have we come to the place where we realize, you know what? I blew it. I need that blood. It was for me. That's why a lot of times the world will call it silliness and foolishness, because, oh, I don't need that. Oh, it's 2022. We're evolving. No, we're devolving, which has the word devil in it somewhere. No. No. Call it what it is and repent of it. The original sin is pride. Pride is taking something God said is a sin and saying, no, it is not a sin. You are wrong, and I'm smarter than you, God. No. Amen. Ephesians 2:14 says this, for he himself is our peace. You see what I'm saying? It's got to come back to that fundamental. Jesus Christ himself is my peace with God. There is no other. There's nobody else except him. No other way. We can bring a list of all the things, all the reasons why I should qualify to have the peace of God. But if I don't have peace with him, then I won't have the peace of him. Amen? Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for being my peace. Jesus is my peace with God today. Hallelujah. We'll close with these last two verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. I mean, set you apart from the world. Peace with God sets me apart from the world. Amen? And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Somebody say blameless. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a preservation involved, isn't there? That's why the Lord's bringing us back to this. It's like when you can something and you come back years later and it's still fresh. It's like, oh yeah, wow, peace with God. Let's have some of that, right? Somebody say, Lord, preserve me blameless. I believe the point in these last two verses is we have to keep ourselves in that peace. We can't drift off from it to the right or to the left, chasing things, chasing jobs, chasing people, chasing ideals, chasing beliefs, chasing other religions, and just trying to group it all together. It's not the same thing. Simplicity. Jesus died on the cross. I believe it. He did it for me. I have peace with God. Somebody say, it's really that simple. And I need to keep myself grounded in that. That's what he's doing with me right now. Just regrounding me to that. And then finally, 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. How many know the only place to be without spot and blameless is in Christ? There's no other place. But whose responsibility is it to keep you in that peace? Somebody say, it's my responsibility to keep myself grounded in peace with him. And let me tell you this. There's another scripture that said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. You and me, when we're grounded in this, you can share that with somebody. Why wait till they're on their deathbed to ask them, have you made peace with God? Maybe, like Shelley was talking, somebody's stressing out, they're worried, they're fearful. It's a great question. Yeah, but have you made peace with God? Well, what does that mean? Door open. It's Jesus. Somebody say it's Jesus. He himself is our peace. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's stand up on our feet and we'll close with a prayer today. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and thank him for the sacrifice that he made for our peace. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the price that you paid for us on the cross so that we could have peace with God today. We receive that peace. We receive it afresh. Oh God, that it would just be a fragrance from our lives, that it would move us to tears, not in grief and sorrow, but just in that, I just love you so much, Lord, for being my peace. There's nothing more valuable. Lord, thank you. Being at peace with you is my greatest possession. Jesus, you are our greatest possession, not just now, but forever. And as God, as we do continue, Lord, to believe you for breakthroughs and things in our lives, may we always be grounded in peace with God. And maybe there's somebody now listening later online or in the sound of my voice, and you're just saying, you know what? I don't remember a time where I made peace with God. I've been to church. I hear music that's Christian. I try to do things that are right and try to love people, but I don't remember a time that I said, Jesus, I receive what you did on that cross for me. I can't do that for anybody else. I can't receive him for anybody else but myself. And right now, if that's you, just pray this out loud. Just everybody pray it out loud. Just say, Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I confess to you, Lord, that I have sinned. And I thank you for your blood that cleanses me of all sin. I receive you, Jesus, as Lord of my life. Beginning now, I will live for you and serve you and love you and share you all the days of my life. And I'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for anyone who prayed that prayer this morning that you would strengthen them and confirm to them that they are born again. You'd give them someone today to share that with, to share that they are born again and in love with Jesus, and that you'd give them, God, a good church, a Bible teaching church to be in. Surround them with supporting believers that are going the same direction and believing your word the same way, Father. People that love you. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.